Blog Talk Radio. Hello, world. Happy Monday. You're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove. Unfortunately, Louie Wildove is under the weather and won't be hosting, so I will be your host tonight. My name is Grey Eye Smith, and tonight's show is brought to you from a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. So we also have anthologies available on Amazon.com, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. Okay, so I'm going to go to the studio here. And I'd like to welcome Laurent to the show. Hello, Laurent.
Good evening, Gray. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Glad to have you. And I'm going to bring on another caller. Area code 520. Who's calling, please?
This is Kathy. Right of
passage. Hi, Kathy. Hi, right of passage. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Laurent. Hi, Gray Eyes.
And area code 703, is that you, Bobby? Hello, area code 703, is that you, Bobby? Well, we're not getting you if you are. Maybe try calling back, I don't know. So I'm going to go ahead and get to the poetry here. And this is by Katie, and I'm going to post it to the group. If you wouldn't mind, please, Laurent.
All right. This is called Pledge by KD14. In the mirror of memory, I saw her. A handful of sunshine and its accessory were suddenly lost at the bend on the way, forever. Surrounding me, the unknown moments became crowded soon. Her name I felt in my artery. I kept on searching her address in the bride-looking light of the afternoon. My heart will never forget her. I will not let her lose in the unknown light of my eye. I will never forget this way. With a dropleaf memory, I have walked miles with her. The companions were just a few blue moths. Inside the green forest, I've seen the pledge of the golden sunray. My heart does not understand. Why does the time flow away? Why does the old clock on the wall tick off? My heart will never forget her. I will not let her lose in the unidentified light of the blue sky. Even today, her love has not faded. The white cloudlets, the same old skies arrayed. I will not forget her. I will not let her lose in the unknown light of my eye. End poem.
Hmm.
Well, beautiful, beautiful read, Laurent. And such a touching poem. You can feel the love he has for this person that has left him. And I will not forget her. I will not let her lose in the unknown light of my eye. Just a beautiful, right? And what did you think, Kathy?
Oh, lovely. I like how he capitalized certain words. Light of the afternoon, sunshine and its accessory. Green forest, blue moth, sun ray, blue sky. It's like if there is an element of nature in this. It's like he loves her like he loves nature, like they walked for miles in the blue. In the green forest, and I've seen the pledge of the golden sun ray. He won't ever forget her. You just get the sense that he and she have a unison that will never be lost. It's a beautiful light. Excellent.
Thank you, Kathy. And I'm going to bring on Bobby.
How are we doing?
Hello,
this
Bobby.
Time?
Hi,
we're
Bobby.
Doing this time.
Hey. Hi, Bobby.
It's working.
Did it work this time?
Hey. Yeah, it worked. yeah, thank you for calling in. Did you get a chance to hear Lord read?
I did, and this is a very deeply romantic piece. This the person that, the author heavily identifies the departed with nature, and being surrounded by nature, he's constantly surrounded by the memory of her. I completely agree with what Kathy said. There's definitely a very heavy thread of nature throughout this, and a reverence not only to nature, but of what nature represents to him in the way of her memory.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Lauren, what did you think of the write?
Oh, it had a beautiful tone to it. That, for instance, that last stanza, I will not forget her, I'll not let her lose in the unknown light of my eye, which is basically a theme that repeated throughout the piece. When he starts, the mirror of memory, I saw her, a handful of sunshine and its accessory. I had to smile because that's clever phrasing, but it also implies all the things that he sees with her when he views her, and all those things surround him. And he does feel crowded, but he's not going to forget her, despite his leaf drop memory and the fact that his memories may have been few. They're strong. Why does time flow? Why does time pass so fast? It doesn't matter. He's not going to forget her. He's not going to let her be forgotten. It's a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Lauren. And just a note to everybody, tonight's show is based on a contest that Louie Wildove and myself ran called Poetry Remembering Your Loved Ones, Friends, and Beloved Pets, November 1st and 2nd. November 1st and 2nd are the days we remember our loved ones, and it's celebrated with family and friends. Please share your memories. So that was that's the gist of tonight's show. Okay, so I'm going to go to the list here and bring up the next poem here. See if I can find it. Okay. Posting it to the group. And Bobby, if you wouldn't mind, please, reading yours.
Oh, no, not at all. Okay. We have Kick-Ass Grandma. And for everyone who can see, that picture at the top actually is my grandmother. Kick-Ass Grandma. Come to this country alone when you were 6 years old. Get married at 18 to a man twice your age. Have children, raise a family during the Depression. Feed them stone soup, button soup, or whatever you can, as long as there's food on the table. Kick ass, Grandma. Teach yourself to read. Teach yourself to write. After never having gone to school, and be proud of all that you have learned in your new home. Swing a hammer better than your husband. Do plumbing. Make clothing from your own patterns before you could read. Don't waste a thing if you can turn it into something else. Kick ass, Grandma. Love nature. Feed birds, charm animals. Be so good at gardening you could stick a pencil in the ground and make it grow. Produce flowers, vegetables on a postage stamp of soil behind your house. Such a good cook that there isn't anything you couldn't make without a cookbook. Make everything from scratch. Create delicious memories that none of us will ever forget. Kick ass, Grandma. If you could crack whole walnuts in your bare hands, yet so gentle and tender that you could nurse a baby bird back to health or cradle your granddaughter in your arms until she fell asleep. Have an accent so thick that sometimes even your family couldn't understand it. Speak words of wisdom so golden that the lives around you would never be the same without them. Kick ass, Grandma. a life of love, understanding, tolerance for everyone, even people you don't understand and don't agree with. Leave a legacy of lasting memories behind you that could never be erased or replaced, an endowment so rich that your life is mirrored through a granddaughter. That's what you have, how you've enriched her life. Kick ass, Grandma. Take names.
Beautiful read, buddy. And such a touching poem. You know, you can feel the love and respect that you have for your grandma throughout these words. It's just an excellent grace. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, the poem that she wrote to her grandmother, Kick-Ass Grandma, is, to me, intensely moving. It is so personal, and it is so filled with the descriptions, for instance, of the age during the Depression, feed them stone soup, button soup, whatever you can, as long as there's food on the table. And there's a wonderful refrain, Kick-Ass Grandma. And she goes through all the things her grandmother had to overcome between learning to read and write, learning how to love nature and take advantage of it and feed those around her. It didn't matter what she found. She's going to create those delicious memories, which is so, so nice. And your voice in this is so attached to her. It's the reason that I found it difficult not to write a sincere poem about somebody that I missed because of the recent deaths in the family. I just didn't want to revisit any of that. So I wrote something humorous, but that's beside the point. This is genuine appreciation for someone with a great deal of importance in your life. And how do you find the words, you know, to really express yourself? Well, I thought you did well, and you enriched us as well as her presence enriching you. Thank you so much, Bobby. Great piece.
Thank you, Lauren. That was a great comment. And Kathy, what did you think?
Oh, wow. I'm looking at the face of this lady, and her eyes are so resting. You can just tell this is a person who has been through it all and yet has such compassion and love. And the way you read this, it was just with such reverence. And, you know, I know a little bit about your background, and you kick ass too. You do. You kick ass also. She taught you well, didn't she? Kick ass and take names. I love it. You can stick a pencil in the ground and make it grow. Wonderful. She reminds me of my grandma, too. It's just a beautiful, beautiful poem. And thank you for sharing it with us. You can tell it's just so heartfelt. And thanks for sharing it with us, Bobby.
Thank you, Kathy.
That was a beautiful comment, Chassie. Thank you. And Louie Wilde, what did you think? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. You know, just to read you a little bit about the people who wrote for this contest. And I want to thank Phil for this because she gave me the idea, and I went and did some research on it, you know, so I could explain it simpler for people who aren't aware of this tradition. I was upset. I had a doctor's appointment today, and I went to all the Mexican bakeries, and they were all closed. Ah, devastation. I couldn't get my marranito. And a marranito is a little piggy that you get at a bakery. It's shaped like a pig, but it's kind of like a brownie and a gingerbread cookie all mixed in once. And you drink it with hot chocolate and coffee. But November 1st and 2nd are the days we remember our loved ones, and it is celebrated with family and friends. And it says, please share your memories. November 1st, Día de los Inocentes. Honoring children who have died, graves are decorated with white orchids and baby's breath. And on November 2nd, this is where we remember our family and our friends. Día de los Muertos. honoring adults whose graves are decorated with bright orange marigolds, people and culture native to Mexico and Central America. And I just want to say, lo amo y los extraño mucho. Abuelo y abuela, I miss my grandparents.
Aww.
And Bobby, this touched me so much because it reminded me so much of my grandmother. They taught us how to survive. They taught us, our parents, how to survive. And then our parents and their tradition, you know, because my grandmother came from Spain. And she used to tell me, "Ay, we were so poor. We would have to go, there's a certain weed down here that's called pigweed. But it's more mm-hmm. nutritious than spinach and kale. And it is more delicious." And then she would have to go to the river to catch catfish. That's why she lived so long, because she was so healthy. You know, she mm-hmm. taught herself to read and write. She married my grandfather, who was much older than her also. She, you know, at that time, everything was sown. You had to garden. You had to sew clothes. And but, you know, the thing with that is that no matter how poor people may have thought the meal that they served us or our parents served us, it was rich and healthy and delicious. And we sat around the table talking to mm-hmm. each other and sharing stories. And we would do the same thing, you know, peel peaches and peel pecans for, you know, the bread. And, you know, and that's still done. My mom still does that. And, you know, and then that's a gift that she gives, you know, to everybody that comes in and visit. And, you know, her accent was thick, too. But those memories, they're mirrored in us. We are the warriors. The warrior yeah. blood. Beautiful poem. Yes. We fight for our family and love our family. And we take names. And we kick ass.
Aww.
Hey, you didn't mess with my grandma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My uncle was accidentally shot an accidental discharge of a firearm. And somewhere in the house, and I really have to find this, I have a newspaper clipping. Was actually for the front page of the local newspaper, and it was a grandmother from the back, and there's six policemen pulling my grandmother off of this guy who's got his arms up, and he was the guy that uh-huh. shot my uncle. Grandmother was wailing the shit out of him, and it took six cops to pull my grandmother off, and the newspaper got a picture of the grandmother kicking this guy's I got to find that picture.
I'd yeah. like to see it.
My uncle lived, by the way.
Oh, good. Good.
I'd like to welcome Sal.
Yeah, my grandma lived to be 101. Wow. And she was a Depression era lady, too.
I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show. Hello, Sawa.
Hi, Sawa.
Hello, everyone.
Did you get a chance to hear Bobby's poem?
No, I was looking for it. I couldn't find it while you were talking. I was gonna ask Bobby to send it to me so I can read it and comment. Moved everyone. I'm sorry I missed it.
That's okay. Thank you for calling in though. And Bobby, would you like to say anything about your poem?
My grandmother was a remarkable woman, and I basically distilled her life down to these verses. I mean, she earned her own passage to this country after her mother abandoned her in Europe and came here with her brothers and sisters and not her. And but she always. She always loved everybody. She loved people, even if she didn't agree with them. she respected that everyone had their own opinion. But the one thing I remember, overarching thing I remember, is how much she loved me and how I always knew that I was loved. No matter what we did, you know, whatever she did, I knew that the underlying current for whatever she did for me or with me was love.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Bobby. Okay, Kathy, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Let me refresh here. L-I-L-Y by Random Words by Jake. We are not even blood related. We just met and clicked right away. At first, we were just mentor and mentee. Eventually, you called me mommy. Yellow is your color. Happiness is your mantra. You call yourself ILY virus because you spread the love virus in all of us. You love to drink coffee. You love warm hugs. You smile and sing your heart out. You give your best in all the things you do. You are my sunshine. You are my strength. I know you don't want me to be sad, but I know my tears will not stop. Visit me in my dreams. Let's have coffee in my dreams. Let's talk and bond as how we promise to each other. Please stay in my heart forever. End quote.
And just a quick note, the author's note says, for Elisa Jean Santiago, such a touching poem. You can feel the love and respect that this person has for this other, for Elisa Jean Santiago. Just a beautiful write. What did you think, Lawrence? Hello, Lawrence.
Sorry, I had to get my one mute out of the way for the evening. My one mute out of the way for the evening. Yes.
Hey, Laura.
I like the way he writes this in simple but clear and very direct language. There's no mistaking what he has to say here. You are my sunshine. You are my strength. I know you don't want me to be sad, but I know my tears will not stop. And sometimes it is that way. We're going to cry for a long time, either physically or emotionally inside. And he asks, please stay in my heart forever, and I'm sure she will. Great piece.
Absolutely, Seth. Thank you. Thank you, Lawrence. That was a great comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
Very reverential. This is someone who had a deep love and respect for this person, and just something I realized that we can use our imaginations as poets. Imagine what it would like to be on another planet. Imagine what it would be like flying or something. Don't think we're good enough to simulate the kind of depth of feeling that we're going to see in some pieces tonight, because there's no imitating depth of love and affection that you can have for someone. And
agreed.
This is one of those.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks, Bobby. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, Bobby would know this, and so would Laurent. There's a thing in the military where your military family becomes closer to you at times than sometimes your own flesh and blood. And just because you're not blood related does not mean that you cannot love that person as much as you would love somebody that was your family or direct blood. And you miss them. You do. You miss them. And especially it seems that this teenager was, you know, full of love And she says that she what she remembers her is, and this is what we remember too, to celebrate the wonder, the Dia de los Muertos is to celebrate the life of our past family members. You know, here she brought out her personality. I love to drink coffee. Me too. Who doesn't like a warm hug? I do. And I smile and I will sing my heart out. I don't care if I'm out of tune or not. That is just something that it just makes me happy. And you just do the best that you can and you give your best. And we make a mark on people. We can teach people. I'm sorry. I'm just, you can show people how to love when they haven't been loved. And when you get that gift, it is something that you will cherish every year when we miss them. When we miss them, you miss them every day, but this is a special day. And these aren't sad tears. These are happy tears.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we love you.
Yeah, we do.
And so what would you do?
I actually, Louis stole some of my words. It's little laugh. I'm going to see someone already. I was thinking some of the same thing. Sometimes you have people in your life. They're not family. They're not from the blood, but they become family. And they really are there in your heart and just this closeness. Something, this connection, when it happens, you just stay there forever. And she definitely showed that in here, how much she cared about him, appreciated his smile, his love, everything beautiful about him. And also, she's longing, still longing and missing him, but he will always have a place in her heart, he or she. So beautiful, very moving, it really moved me deeply. And you are completely right, Lou. You're such a tender human being. Keep being who you are, Lou. And Catherine, you did an amazing job in reading it.
Thank you, Stella. That was wonderful comments. Yeah. And Kathy, what did you think?
I think I should have pronounced the title Illy instead of I-L-Y. But Illy sounds like it's just a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
I love coffee. I love warm hugs, too.
Aw.
I want to smile and sing my heart out, too.
Oh.
This is a beautiful poem, and it reminds me of a friend of mine who passed.
I'm so
I just love this. I love this poem, and I just, you are my sunshine. You are my strength. I know you don't want me to be sad, but I know my tears will not stop. And that, it's so true. When you think about them, your eyes just well up, and it's hard not to. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make everybody cry, but I love you guys. Te amo, besitos.
No,
if I had marranitos, I would send you all one. Mexican pastries.
Yeah.
So, Liu, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay.
I'll repost it. There we go.
Where is it?
It's by Inked Fidelity. Inked Fidelity.
Oh, I sent you a message about that.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So we're not going to read that one?
No. Some people didn't get back with us in time, and they haven't been on for a couple of days. So I'm trying to contact them so I can add those poems to Phil's show tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I'm going to post another one then. There you go.
Okay. All right. This is by Diane Crawford, and I hope I don't bust out in tears. So here we go. Oh, baby mine. Woo! Here we go. When the news came that you were dead, floodgates opened. I can't read this.
Okay, I'm sorry. Sal, would you mind, please?
Okay. baby mine, when the news came that you were dead, floodgates opened from memories. I felt again the first fluttering of movement within me, and the first breath against my cheeks. In a family of dark eyes and dark hair, you were the surprise. With your hair the color of the sun and your eyes the color of the sky, which holds it. The first smile, first steps, first words all came rushing back to me from some inner reservoir, and suddenly I recalled words from scripture about Mary putting everything her child said and did into her heart, because I knew I had done the same with you. Those first moments of your life, who in 2 years of your life unfurled like a proud flag, and you grew into men, but not for long. 5 years gone you are, yet how could you be to her as alive as ever to me? For mother's love never dies. In the poem. Oh, that's really moving.
Thank you, Kawa. And the author says, this poem is in memory of my son, Michael, who died too soon. You know, such a reverent and tragic poem. You know, you can feel the loss and the love and right here. Just a beautiful expression of love. What did you think, Lauren?
There's there are tears and there are tears. And some of them go on forever, like a parent's love for a child.
Yes. Agreed. I love you, Laurent.
Thank you.
Love you, besos, corazón, besos.
Yeah.
And Bobby, what did you think?
A hot mess by the end of the evening.
But we're together.
You know what? It's better to feel than not. To not feel is often a lot of beauty. And this is a beautiful piece. I can only I never had children by choice. Only imagine heartbreaking it is to carry a 9 months, have it introduced to the world, only to have it taken away suddenly. I can't imagine the heartbreak. Because I've watched the kids in my neighborhood and the little ones who've only been on the planet for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. amazing to watch them. But to see a life so new to end so quickly, I can't even begin to imagine how devastating that can be. And this piece is so filled with love and beautifully.
Thank you, Bobby. That was a wonderful comment. And Louie, what did you think?
Well, this broke my heart because this is an opportunity that every, you know, this just breaks my heart, parent, you know, that parents who want children can't. Parents who cherish children and want them, at times they are lost either during pregnancy, which is still the same to me as actually, you know, I would say as having a baby, because you feel the baby move. You feel its feet, its heartbeat. You go to all the appointments. You eat right. You know, a baby is a baby. And a mother, whether it's she's lost the baby in her trimester or during her pregnancy or after her pregnancy, it's devastating. Because when you see children in school, and children in playgrounds, you search for your child's face because you know they should be there. And this is a beautiful, beautiful poem.
Thank you, Leah. And Sal, what did you think of the rain?
Oh, my goodness. This is really heartbreaking. I'm just very moved by everything. And really, my heart is with her. I can't imagine. I'm a mother of two. I can't imagine losing a child. I always pray that I go first, that I never see this day happen. My mother lost tragically. My brother got killed and my sister got killed. And my mother lost it after.
Sorry.
And my mother lost it after my sister got killed. Then she died. So, this is really very emotional. And I can imagine someone losing their child. Really, well, just very emotional. You can feel the love and how much she misses them, of course.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. And Kathy, did I get you?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Would you like to comment, please?
It's so touching. And what Lee said about looking for your child's face in playgrounds. I know things that might remind you of a father or yourself. I lost a child. I nearly died of miscarrying a little boy.
Aww.
And to this day, I can't have children because of the miscarriage. I want to adopt, though, because I love children dearly.
Oh.
And I always wanted one. But it's really touched me, and I really thank the author, Diane Crawford, for this is a very brave poem, too. She really, you know, she put her feelings out there, and it's just a beautiful piece. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate the comment. Okay, so I've got the next poem up by Shelley Verdun, and I have a SoundCloud for her.
Fresh-picked white orchids and baby's breath lay atop the grass that you slumber beneath, symbolizing beauty you did display and the eternal love that you bequeath. We use this day to mark and celebrate the precious life that was fleeting in you. Every day we can't help contemplate what would it be like if you were here too. Bright, fragrant, orange marigolds for you, where your mortal form rests within the earth. Mark the day many others with loss too. Celebrate with love and boisterous mirth. To honor time with you we were gifted, all the cherished memories in our hearts. Dancing, many a glass will be lifted, knowing one day our life with you restarts. End poems.
Oh, it's beautiful. A wonderful SoundCloud and a touching poem filled with love and reverence for her lost people. Just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Lauren?
Here's a poem that celebrates the passing of someone not steeped in deep emotions, although those certainly exist. But there's a nod to the lines, bright fragrant orange marigolds for you, where your mortal form rests within the earth. Mark the day many others have lost too. Celebrate with love and boisterous mirth. There are times that you grieve emotionally in a way that discharges enormous pressure and tension of emotion we find within ourselves. But there are different ways to release that, and they can be released with love and boisterous mirth. And as the poet says, dancing, many a glass will be lifted, knowing one day our life with you restarts. It's a heartening poem of loss. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Lawrence. And Kathy, what did you think?
Oh, it's beautiful. The orchids, the baby's breath, and then the marigold to show the adult person, because that's what this is all about. You know, it's about loss of the child and the adult. But the mortal form rests within the earth, and you get the sense of it being a cocoon, which one day will burst forth into another life. And knowing one day our life with you restarts, it is very heartening, you know. It is a very gifted night, very gifted night, and I feel it in my heart, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. We appreciate that comment. And Bobby, what did you think?
I liked this piece. It it had a positive a trend to it, honoring you, the title, speaking to the departed, which I thought was a wonderful way to approach the prompt and to tell them that they'll never be forgotten, and all the cherished memories in our hearts dancing, many a glass will be lifted, knowing one day our life with you restarts. Very uplifting. We all know that it's an eventuality for all of us, but to know, to have someone say to you that you'll be remembered, it means all the world.
Yeah. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Lee, what did you think?
Well, this was very touching. You could hear in her voice, just like you hear in our voices now, the emotions that these beautiful poets are sharing part of their lives with us. And, you know, to honor that they're remembered and that they will always be remembered, even though we didn't get to share much of our life with them, they are as much as part of our hearts as if they were. Because that memory never goes away. It stays. They grow underneath your heart, and that's where they stay.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Leah. And Salwa, what did you think?
I really love this poet I just discovered her recently. She put so much emotion in her writing, and her read is amazing. I like how she's writing about everyone, not necessarily one in particular. That's what I read in her author note. And she wants to, at the same time, remember them and celebrate them. And she did. The first stanza is really remember them, and the second is celebrating. And the one line really got my attention. I love the whole poem. What would it be like if you were here too? It's so true. So many times, little things remind me, food or laughter. But I wish they were here. And I feel this connection. I don't know if everyone feels the same, but I really believe they never really leave this. They are there somewhere in the universe. So I feel their presence so many times. And that's what I see here too. It's very beautiful, very honorable for all the lost lives. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Sawa. Beautiful comment. Okay, I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
For who?
For you.
Oh, I forgot. I broke down and cried. Thank you for rescuing me, Sawa. Best ones for you, too. Okay. This is by Lou Woodfay, and it is titled Poem Number 1075, Our Beautiful Spirit Guide. And I want to thank him for writing this contest, because sometimes our children are our birds, our cats, and our dogs. They are our spirit guides through life. And I want to thank you for writing this. Our Beautiful Spirit Guide by Lou Woodfay. I have been blessed with several babies that stole my heart and my mind. They weren't the normal children of most, but each was one of a kind. There is one who will always stood out because she spent the most time with us. Time may march on, but my heart's still frozen because of her absence. I had to adjust. I had to adjust to her being spirit now, instead of the body made of flesh and blood. She comes to me now and then through a thin veil, invisible, but it's still my dearest beloved. On my birthday, which happens to be November 1st, when we remember the dead, I can feel her near. Even though I can't see her, she comes to me as a spirit, not flesh, instead. Candles are lit and music is played, and the whole day is dedicated to loving her. I can almost sense her actual presence, and I am reminded of how things once were. One day a year, my baby visits us here, and we celebrate our sweet 16-year-old child. She may be invisible to see, but she is here with me, no longer flesh, but as our beautiful spirit guide. In poem.
That was a beautiful read, Lydia, and such a loving, devoted right to her beautiful spirit guide. Just a lovely, lovely write. Packed with emotions and memories. What did you think, Lonnie?
Well, I think that animals become sometimes every bit as important as living people, and sometimes even more, because they don't judge you. They're love, and you love back. Now, I've had cats who stayed with us a year or two or three and got run over or disappeared for one reason or another. But we had one that was 14 when she died, and losing her was very, very difficult. I don't see her as a spirit guide in this particular case, because she was a little too ornery. But she was very loving, and she was always there, and for such a long time, it left a big hole. And when you have an animal like this, that is a spirit guide, how much closer can it actually be? It's, again, enormously moving.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Kathy, what did you think?
I always think of animals as especially dogs as guides. You know, they are so, as Lawrence said, unconditionally loving. And they lead you in a way toward a deeper part of yourself, you know, the part that is unconditionally loving, the part that is happy and always happy to see you. Always happy to follow, but also to lead and to be, just to be with you. You don't have to say anything to them. They still love you. No matter what you say or do, they are there. They are just there, and they are part of the family. They are family. And losing one is can be really devastating. So I really like this piece very, very much. And reminds me of the pets that I've had and, you know, that I know are still around. You know, there's a place for them. I know that animals have souls. Yeah, they've got personalities, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They've got personalities, and there's no two alike. So I really enjoyed this piece very much, and it was very touching to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. And Sal, what did you think?
It is another emotive one. I can feel it. I can feel how much this dog meant to her and the relate this connection that they have. And it doesn't matter, really, if the, as you said, everyone's part become family. I really feel it because I had a cat for 13 years, my sweet mittens, and I still can. I couldn't even adopt another cat because I love her so much. It's so hard to replace her. So I understand how she feels. It's really beautiful. And the presence in general, when we lose someone, as we said earlier, their spirit and their presence always there, never go away.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful comment, Sala. Thank you. And Luyu, what did you think?
Well, my four-legged animals are my babies, too. I lost both my babies last year, Schubert and Clara. And they are, and, you know, having Native American blood, you know, our animals choose us. And, you know, I chose her mother, and then she had puppies, and I took two of them and I raised them. And, you know, it's just difficult. It is, whether it's a cat who is ornery like my buddy Woo Woo, because he is ornery. And, you know, now I just got a puppy, so his name is Yuki-san, which is snow in Japanese. He's a Shiba Inu. So, you got to love them and hug them and kiss them and rub their ears. I put them on I hold them like a baby. And he picks up his armpits, and I rub his armpits, and I tell him, oh, delicious armpits, and he just lets me rub himself. Whatever, you know. I love my four-legged animals and two-legged humans, too.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Lee. Okay, Lawrence, I have yours up if you want, please.
All right. Let me just go backwards here and come forward. All right. Like I said before, with as much death as I've had to experience lately, I didn't think I could survive writing one that was really what the contest called for. So this is about someone who's no longer with us, and a little bit humorous. The bluff of a smoker. The bluff of a good cigar lies in posture and demeanor of the smoker, rock-ribbed, held at crooked arm's length. A critical stare and sniff judges, not without a certain savoir-faire. Quality, flavor, ease of draw, imbued in the hand-wrapped leaf, dark and rich in textured sheets. But should the tobacco be inferior, and loosen contents of his interior, he clamps down with his posterior, social self-control simply superior. It wouldn't do to see a cognoscenti admit he'd chosen wrong, like an ignorant twit, imitation Cuban, a poor quality Bermudan, which he chased with a fine aquavit. His good manners avoided the boorish, smiling, waving smoke about with a flourish. He said with a sigh, God's breath is no lie, though inside he felt closer to death. Arising with a smile and a surfeit of style, sauntering slowly outside for fresh air, once concealed, he ground it hard under heel, not without a groan and an air of despair. George felt a fool, an unfortunate ass, a box of 20 and $30 apiece. Nausea passed, he soon regained his class with dark thoughts of his vendor, Maurice. Maurice, who would not be missed, a stout fellow over his grasp too tight for my own good, thrusted and fatally breached. Shortly afterwards, he died in a tobacco thresher under suspicious circumstances. Incidentally, I have an alibi. I've learned to take no more chances. End poem.
That was a fantastic read. And what a wonderful write, you know. Somebody who's spending $600 on a box of cigars is going to be bummed when they're turned out to be fake. Yeah, that was just an excellent write for Bourne. What did you think, Kathy?
Oh, my goodness. Being a former smoker, I can really relate to this, although I didn't smoke cigars. But I think smoking interior tobacco is a total bummer. I prefer rolling my own to smoking the basic cigarette, you know. It's a wonderful bite, Lauren. And I love the end. Maurice, who had not been missed, a stout fellow who overreached his grasp too tight for my own good, trusted and totally breached. Shortly afterwards, he died in a tobacco thresher under suspicious circumstances. Incidentally, I have an alibi. I have learned to take no chances. Very well done, Lauren. I love it.
Thank you.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Kathy. And Lou, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was hilarious. I was just laughing because when we were stationed in Germany, I didn't know what Stuck meant. So I went up there and I brought a case, and I'm thinking, I can't beat this, you know. 10 marks, but underneath it said Stuck. And so I get up there and she tells me I owe for each glass. I did not have that much money. So having been in this position, I know I was full of air of despair and embarrassment because, unlike you, I didn't have the money to pay for it, so I had to put it back up there and apologize and hide my head of shame and walk out of there. Great memory you brought up, Laurent. I love this poem.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lily. I appreciate that. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness. You just have a talent of sense of humor, incredible sense of humor. And then add to it storytelling. I was laughing too. I had put myself on mute. It's really fabulous. And how you did the rhyming, superior. I didn't know this is a true story. I thought it was just a story invention. That's really hilarious. You make it more hilarious.
I'm spending $600.
So that's really beautifully done. And thank you for giving us a break, laughter, no more crying.
For a moment. Thank you, Sawa.
And I'd like to welcome Fallon to the show. Hello, Fallon.
Hey, everybody. Fallon.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, sweetie.
Hello. Well, I wanted
to
say that. I just wanted to say that you know, Laurent has a an act that he can. I think he can make popping a pimple on a butt classic and make it just sound just perfect. Be like a, you know, reading it around the Christmas tree or something. He just has that ability. He just his writing is just so on point, and it just wants you, leaves you wanting more and more and more. So I mean, I really do. I mean, this right here is hilarious, but at the same time, you know, my mom caught me smoking a cigarette when I was 14. Well, I told her myself, really. So she made me smoke a whole pack. But she tried to do that with my sister, and my sister goes, "You got another one? You got another pack?" I was puking, and she said, "You got another pack?" She's still smoking. So this really brought up a lot of humor or some funny a funny moment for me, because I was like, "Oh, my God, I don't want to smoke another one." And I never did smoke another one. It worked for me. But my sister, she goes, "You got another one?" Oh, my God. this is just clever, very clever.
Thank you. Too funny. Thank you, Fallon. Okay, Kathy, I have your write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay. Let me refresh here.
Oh, yeah, it's all the way up.
Okay, this is entitled "The Pages Torn." Oh, tattered stars, how sad the pages torn. That memory's lost, the poem lost, forlorn. When word doth fly, eluding mental grasp, that also lost our treasures of past. One time a writer, great talent to be found, an intellect so very keen and sound, a readership to cause to laugh or weep, sharp wit with every line would leap. Now in the twilight of your years, you could dream that your words are now unread and seen. You still possess hopes and fears, keep company with other tides and coasts, which will, with every wave, draw out the mind's ill ghosts. And Paul.
Would you mind reading your author's notes?
No. More work for my soul survivor site. It's my site on LO Poetry. One of the saddest things I know is a poet with dementia. My father had dementia before he died 2.5 years ago.
I'm so sorry for you, Laura. You know, you can feel the sense of loss in this powerful, right? You know, it's it was beautifully read and beautiful expression of loss. Wonderfully done. Laura, what did you think?
Thank you.
We all love nature. We all love life. But to lose someone you love to dementia is unspeakably cruel of life and nature. This poem is a gripping emotional brevity that gives time for the emotions to fly between the lines and carry their passion and sadness to the reader. Terrific piece, Kathy.
Thank you, Mark. And Lee, what did you think?
You know, this also touches me deeply because my grandmother developed Alzheimer's and dementia. And fortunately, when she passed away, she recognized my mom and my aunt before she passed away. But it's like watching an adult person that's lived a full life of love taking care of us and her family and watching them to regress to an infant where they have to be fed and they have to have their clothes changed and their diapers changed. It's very difficult to watch them not be able to say what they hope for, to not be able to say what they fear. And that soft hide that, you know, where every day, every week, a little piece of them gets lost, but the person we're looking at is still, we still have all those memories. And it is one of the hardest things to care for and take care of somebody we love that is slowly losing everything that they had valued and cherished and loved also. Beautiful poem and beautiful read, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
I saved my father's life 4 times.
Aw.
Poor God.
Aw.
So sad.
And that will be a memory that you will cherish knowing that you did that. That's what makes us strong, and that's how we keep carrying on, and that's how we teach others.
Absolutely. And Sawa, what did you think?
I'm really sorry for your loss, Catherine. It's deeply sad. You can feel the emotions and how much this loss affected you. And very captivating the way you wrote it. Big hug. Remind me of my grandmother, like Louie. It was really horrible to see her like this. And I can deal with people in pain, so I just couldn't handle it. It's hard to see them like that. Anyway, I hope you, this is, I mean, you get the strength to have just remember him.
Thank you,
Sawa.
Thank you,
Sawa.
Thank you, Louie. I'm reading the notes as they're going by, and I thank you, Lou.
And
thank you,
Bellin, what do you think?
I think this is a very moving piece, and the read really, really capped it off. I mean, we have to remember that, you know, just because they can't remember certain things, they already wrote their story within us, and we already know it. It doesn't have to be said out loud. It's already inscripted within who we are, and that we have to remember that some, you know, this too is a cycle in life, and that that maybe sometimes them forgetting and not knowing things is a blessing, so they don't have to see the cruel things of life and actually know what's going on as far as soiling their pants or such. And that we get to care for them when they're at their most vulnerable. And to me, that makes very special moments and things precious, because even though you think they don't remember certain things, there are bits and pieces that will come out and just things they say that you think has no meaning. So you just have to sometimes listen. But this was very touching to me because I lost my mother last year, and the pain is just still raw. And so this is just a great tribute. Very beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Fallon. Okay, I have the next write-up. It's by Salwa, and she has a SoundCloud. So I'll play that. Here we go.
Love poems, love's refrain, le refrain de l'amour. Absent your eyes, a pack of mine, tender love, illuminating, caressing each cheek. Taste these trembling lips, where love is there, just stay to the cold November days, when winter's rain shatters the flames. Will we be together, two hearts as one, nothing is better, and in our solitary time apart, loneliness filling the heart, the sad songs of love refrain. Too long I have stumbled through fields of wild flowers with a halo of pain, waiting for love to bloom again. Will you hold my hand, calm the storm, whisper to my soul to keep me warm? Absent your eyes, opaque are mine. Tes yeux sont absents, les miens sont opaques. L'amour tendre et imminent, caressant chaque jour, goûte ses lèvres tremblantes, où l'amour est là pour y demeurer, à travers les froides journées de novembre, quand la pluie de l'hiver devient l'ombre des flammes. Serons-nous ensemble, de cœur comme un seul, rien n'est pareil. Et dans notre temps solitaire, à part la solitude remplissant le cœur, avec un triste refrain d'amour, trop longtemps j'ai trabiché, travers des champs de fleurs fanées, avec un halo de douleur, en attendant que l'amour fleurisse à nouveau. Peux-tu me tenir la main, calmer la tempête, murmurer à mon âme pour me garder au chaud? Tes yeux sont absents, les miens sont opaques. End this poem.
That was such a beautiful read, Sawa, and such a touching poem. You know, it's filled with love and longing and respect and, you know, the haunting of that person in your life. Will you hold my hand, calm through the storm, whisper to my soul to keep me warm? Absent your eyes, opaque are mine. Just a beautiful write, Sawa. What did you think, Lauren?
Oh, thank you.
You bet.
And in our solitary time apart, loneliness filling the heart, the sad song of love's refrain. Too long I have stumbled through fields of wilt flowers with a halo of pain, waiting for love to bloom again. Absent your eyes, opaque are mine. This was warmly and lovingly written. This poem reaches deep inside to touch love and loneliness. And I think the last two lines would make a seven-word brevity worthy of gold. Six-word brevity, excuse me. Excellent.
Thank you so much, Laurent.
Well said. Thank you, Laurent. And Kathy, what did you think?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful, Sawa.
Oh, thank you.
Absent your eyes, opaque are mine. That could be a six-word brevity of solid gold. That is absolutely, it says it all. Really. I mean, it's just the rest of the poem is, you know, you talk about November days and the shadows of the flames. And then in toward the end, it talks about walking through fields of wilt flowers, rather than wild flowers, it's wilted flowers, with a halo of pain, waiting for love to bloom again. Absolutely beautiful song.
That was a gorgeous comment. Thank you, Kathy. And Louie, what did
Thank you so much, Kathy.
You know, this was just beautifully read. You could hear all the emotions in Sawa's voice as she was reading this. You know, and that's just something what's so wonderful about poetry. Not only do we travel your plane of your life, but you allow us to re-travel ours.
you know, we can feel so lost without the people we love. And, you know, when we look at the flowers, you know, and the pain, you know, there's this beautiful vine that my grandmother used to grow at her house, and they called it beautiful pink flowers. And they look like lanterns, but the color, and they were called migalitos. And every time I drive by the spring or summer of somebody's house and I see those growing in other people's grandmothers and grandfathers' homes, you know, that love there, you know, for me, even though it's painful, it does bloom again because it reminds me so much of my grandfather. Just like when I hear trains, because that's what I, when I used to sleep at her home, that's the only place I was safe. And God, I miss him. Beautiful poem.
Oh, thank you, Leo. Oh, you're so sweet.
Thank you, Leo. And Belly, what did you think?
This is absolutely stunning. I mean, just absolutely stunning. I mean, to love some, to love is natural for us, and it's, and we're supposed to nurture others. But you just, I mean, this is not a cliche love poem or anything. This is not even a drop of blood. This is the actual, the whole flow of a person. And I think this just really just spoke volumes to your writing ability. Just took me back. Just absolutely stunning.
Thank you so much, Fran. I'm great to hear
you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fallon. Okay, I have the next write-up, Fallon, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I actually need to see here. And it, there we go. Oh, about L.G. Mays. I would be honored to. It's called Poets Come and Go by L.G. Mays. Poets may come and go. Some you may or may not know. But when friends pass, they take part of your heart. That missing of the common ties, both good, bad, just tears you apart. Do you think back to all those good times that you shared, the big things, the little, and all those in between that showed that you care? You remember that particular smile, that goofy look that made you smile right back? The friend you could turn to for advice and strength when life was on the attack. And now you read his words and his poems, and his tears just start to flow. But though he's missed, you feel he's in a better place, this friend, the poet, that you did know. End point.
A wonderful read, Zella. And she says this is for Pyros, grieving of his poet, and Pyros is no longer on 18 with him. Just a beautiful, a touching write. You know, you can feel the love and respect that she has for this person in these lines. Just beautifully presented. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, when I read this the first time, I told LG that I thought there was always a place for a poem from a heart like this, and that it was an excellent piece.
Thank you, Lauren. And Kathy, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness. I have lost a few friends on poetry sites, and it's always hard, you know, to lose a poet friend, because, you know, there's some kind of camaraderie that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we love words. We love the same kinds of things. Usually, you know, they're are different kinds of poets and different things, but we all have a strength with life. And I miss them, my current friends. But they always live on. They live on in their words and their work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And that is what is so wonderful, is you can reread and you are reminded of their life and their vitality and their sadnesses and the emotions that they emoted in you. And this is just a really wonderful write. And I was very touched by it. Very touched by it and stuck home.
Thank you, Kathy. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, I just kind of want to go along with what Kathy said. You know, the thing with this is that even though we read the words and we can still share with them, you know, the thing is that when we write about them, like this poet did, L.G. Lacey, is we wrap our love around them and the memories and our poetry. And I love this where she was talking about his personality where she misses him. She says, you remember that particular smile, that goofy look that made you smile right back. You know, and it's those things, you know, those little things that tie us to them and that we share with them and that we share with others when they're no longer there. We can keep the love going.
Yes.
Absolutely, wonderful comment, Lou. Thank you. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh my goodness, this is another very emotive poem. I mean, it just doesn't matter if it's online. Or if, I mean, when you're, they're friends, and when you have this connection, it's genuine. You can feel how much you really miss him, how much you care about him, and still, when she reads his poetry, she cries. This is remind me of Mama Chunza. I don't know if you know her, everyone. When I first joined AP, she was, even if I write the worst poem, I still laugh about it sometimes. She would give me silver balls to encourage me. And we connected, we talked. And just, like till now, when I read her poetry, it really makes me cry. It's just sad losing someone. Very moving. And Lindy, such a great poet.
Thank you. Thank you, Zawa. And Belen, what did you think?
I really like this because she really touched a lot of good key points that, you know, sometimes you might not know that person that or whatever, but, you know, we come to read other people's words on here, and it's them shedding what is dead already of them, and they're shedding that for us to actually to devour, for us to actually learn something and maybe gather something for us in the future that we can use that, you know, we do. We share everything about ourselves. Sometimes the good and the bad, as she says. You know, in the end, we still we're all still the same. We're all broken in some way. And I think we help as one. We are just one big piece. So I think this is just big volume to her excellent job.
Thank you, Belen. Okay, yeah. I have the next poem up. This is by Red Summertime, and it's called "Who Will Bring Her Roses?" Now, a Shakespearean sonnet. Who will bring her ruby red roses now and take pure delight in that winsome smile? Angel of the morning, I must avow, time's accursed, shameless steep, I'll cry meanwhile. Can my lesser soul adjourn joyful life? Will your sweet greater being forego love? Long strides and equal moments running rife, I'm the fish that loved a bird from above. Lord, grant me mercy. What none's asking for. Show me your grace and my long-lasting dream. Give me what's shunned, what you must have no more, for I feel the drag, a deep weight within. Never, Christ, never once before have I turned a page till this moment of awe, grief, and dire rage. End poem. And he says in his author's note, sadly, my wife passed away 5 days after I wrote her this poem. Rest in peace, my love. And may those who suffer a loss can find sorrow within my verses, as I do. And so that's the gist of this poem.
Greg?
Yeah.
It said that did you read that says, my poem is dedicated
to my dearest wife, Sonia Elk Adundam, for her final battle against dementia, 4/11/2021.
Oh, my gosh. So sad. So sad. But, you know, it's a beautiful expression of love and desire for a person that's no longer there. Never once before have I turned a page till this moment of awe, grief, and dire rage. You know, to watch somebody fade away into dementia has got to be one of the toughest things. What did you think, Lawrence?
I've always thought that losing someone to dementia is the cruelest rub of all. To see it brought to life and not be cruel, but to see it brought to life in this fine Shakespearean sonnet, the stanzas are each what we might think, what we might want at any given time. At moments like these, beautifully written, but it's that first stanza, who will bring her ruby red roses now and take pure delight in that winsome smile? You know, he brings her the roses. He delights in her smile. She's the person he loved, the angel of the morning. He greets each day that way. And time's a cursed, shameless thief. You almost expect anger at that moment, but the poet says, I'll cry meanwhile, and saves the rage for the end as he begins to feel it set in. Just a remarkable work.
Thank you, Lauren. And Kathy, what did you think?
Sonnets are extremely difficult to write, good ones, and this is an exceptional one. Not only is he holding true to the form, but he is also holding true to celebrating your life and bearing a grief that has got to be just unbelievably deep.
Absolutely. And thank you. Oh, sorry, Kathy.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's all right. I know the pain. I'm not somebody that I've been married to, but thank you, Evan.
It's really hard to bear.
So sorry.
And I just really, very, very well done.
Thank you, Kathy. And Liu, what did you think?
You know, this is his soulmate. And, you know, I could just literally see him bringing him roses and her smell. I can literally see his wife smelling the roses. And I can feel his rage because it's so cruel to watch somebody fade away that you've lived your life with. And he says, Lord, grant me mercy. Show me your grace. It's so hard to sleep at night. And eventually, not that the pain goes away because it never does, but the memories will flood back more than the pain. And that, and that's what we're sharing. We're sharing our lives and our loves and our family and our friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Lydia. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, my goodness, this is very very hard. I mean, my sincere condolence. I can't imagine. You can feel how deeply he's grieving. And when we lose someone, we don't want to accept that we lost them. We don't understand why this happened and why, and we question things. And he does, and then he asks, there's so many questions.
then he asked the Lord to give him the strength and grace. And I hope he does, because that's not easy. And it will get better, unfortunately. We can't stop it. It's really sad. It's just very sad to see someone lose someone who cares about.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Felon. I mean, thank you, Fella. Felon, what did you think?
Wow, this is very heart-wrenching. Just grabs you up and just shakes you. And then the last line really says it all. Till this moment of awe, grief, and dire rage. You know, because when you have someone that's passing of dementia, they're dying alone, and so you're experiencing it alone because they're not there. The person that they used to be is not there, and you're not allowed to take a moment and say the things that you want to say and know that it's going to be properly conveyed and they're going to understand it, because you know they're dying already a thousand deaths, because you'll have those moments of the clarity of them having them back, and yet then they're gone again. So that it is a very it is a torment, and it's very cruel, and my heart goes out to him, and wow, just really broke me down. Great job.
Thank you, Fallon. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hello. Hello,
hi,
my
Frank.
Friend. Hi. Hello, everyone. I do apologize. My phone doesn't allow me to be able to read much of the poems, but I thought I'd call in here and participate. I just had to call in. I made some time. I said I've been listening to the show the whole time, and I said, you know, even if it's only for a few minutes there to hear, spend some time with all of you.
Well,
happy to have you.
Thank you. Okay, Laura, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Who did you ask?
You, Laura.
You?
Thank you.
Okay, sorry. this is by Liquid Mind Forever. It's called Ellis Island. Ports of entry, quarantine, immigrant, migrating souls, including pets and loved ones suspected of carrying some contagion, some disease. We lived quarantined for 6 solitary weeks, 5 foreigners, my brother Archie, my sister, Florence, my mom, Isabella, Raymond, my dad, our Sheltie Boots, and 3-year-old me. I had measles. I felt unwelcomed in a foreign land, frightened, foreign to customs, language, monetary system, rules, and fungus foods, with pungent odors and bloody fools feigning politeness. Gnarly, cigarette-stained fingers and teeth spit out commands like a firing squad of Nazi brigands suited and badged, sputtering laws, restrictions, treating us as imbeciles, ingrates, enslaved beggars, miscreants who, by the grace of their unseen God, of their own creating, guaranteed the inflicted plebeians their right to the pursuit of happiness in the land for the free and rich. My father went to work in the Illinois coal mines to seek out a meager wage, to put stale bread and sour milk on our Salvation Army thrift store table. Mom cleaned houses 7 days a week for 75 cents a day. At 5, she sent me off with a nickel in my pocket to the neighborhood store for bread. A day old, it was cheaper. Coal was at a premium, and many times I'd go to bed cold and caustically hungry, shaking and miserably unhappy, praying to die. As I grew, Mom aged, Dad left us for liquor and loose women. and a new pair of shoes became an occasion for celebration. Once a year, hand-me-downs from cousins, neighbors, church rummage sales clothed us. My younger brother Johnny, we called him Red, born a year after we arrived in America, labored construction, or any odd job for a mere pittance. But we needed the money for food and rent and coal. I loved sports, excellent at baseball. Mom didn't like it, didn't want anything taking me away from home, costing pennies for uniforms, socks, after school practice. I stood out, lots of chutzpah, talent, a strong pitching arm. Met Babe Diedrichson Saharius, once pitched a game she was in, my one claim to fame. The scouts singled me out, the managers offered me a chance to travel and pitch professionally like the Babe, but Mom said no. That was the end of my future, my hopes and dreams of fame in a land of opportunity. Factory work became my forte and my fortune. Without education, money, connections, sewing in hat factories, making harness boards for government contracts, earned my way while they stole my youth, my hope, my destiny. Mom died years ago from a neglected fall. Dad, alcoholism and black lung. Florence in a nursing home from Alzheimer's. Archie, a casualty of World War I. Johnny from a brain aneurysm. And me, I left Illinois and moved to California to serve in the 1940s, to serve my country as a WAC, work the shipyards, and still bought the old bread. Habit, I guess. We came to America with expectations and promises, bringing hope and aspirations. We all died poor, unhappy, thankless jobs, meager wages on freedom's soil, slaves to the system, still foreigners, still unfulfilled, distilled and buried in bones and Ellis Island promises, still feeling foreign, even to ourselves. And I lie alone, brittle, but free, waiting to emigrate from this land of the free and missed opportunity. End poem.
That was fantastically read, Laura. And what a heart-wrenching poem of, you know, seeking that, the dream, and having that dream fall to pieces in your hand. Just a haunting, right? What did you think, Kathy?
I had to mute myself, sorry. Wow. Give me, you're tired, you're poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. I remember having to memorize that when I was a child. That I never saw the other side of it. You know, I did later in life, of course. But this just really, this is a powerful poem. A powerhouse poem. Here's this person who has thought out in having a pitching arm and having chutzpah and only to have that dream dashed to by the very person that should have known better But it was, this is just, it's an incredible piece.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah. You know, this is how so many people coming to the United States came. you know, this made me really think, you know, about when I was growing up, you know, not being, not having a lot of money and being poor and, you know, sometimes having to wear secondhand clothes and, you know, but it's how you adapt it, you know. My mom and my grandmother, between the both of them, they didn't make us feel as if we were foreign or we were poor or, you know, so we were able to adapt, you know, not saying that other people didn't treat us like crap, you know, but they showed us how to survive in this environment, how to live, how to, you know, with my mom sewing, cooking, growing your own food. And I didn't feel poor. I only could see that when I went to go visit one of my friends. And I would see their car and their fancy clothes and their fancy TVs and stuff like that. But when I was in my home, I didn't feel it because love enriches. And, you know, even in poverty, love enriches because you can take those things and learn how to survive. And, yeah, I couldn't do a lot of things either because my mom couldn't afford it and stuff like that. But that didn't, you know, I still did other things. You know, I did other things because she allowed us, you know, just like one of the things which she used to call it treasure hunting. I never knew treasure hunting was secondhand furniture because she called it treasure hunting. So we would go treasure hunt for bed frames, couches, and stuff like that and bring it home. And she would crochet and sew things and cover it up. But to me, it was, you know, I spent time with my mom. We all brought it home. We took our little red wagon and we piled the stuff up on it and we brought it home. So poverty was, for me, poverty was enriched by the love and the traditions and the ability of my mom to pull us through this time.
Beautiful comment, Louie. Thank you. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, excuse me. Laurent, a great read and a great comment. I'm really speechless, as if I was watching the film Noir. What a way to honor her grandmother by writing this poem about the story that she told her when she was a child. Sadly, what makes me sad is that, unfortunately, we see the story, the same story happening today all over the world with immigrants again and again. It doesn't, like history repeats itself, and which really makes me very sad. Moved me so deeply. I love her writing, and this is truly one of my favorite of hers. She just put so much in there and moving. What a story.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
My pleasure.
Well, I don't know if I could say much than that. I'll just say something brief. To know what it is to be an immigrant, or know the plight of an immigrant, you must first be an immigrant. I've been an immigrant for many times in many countries, and I can tell you that until you get out of your own country, you never know what it is, as I said before, what it is to be an immigrant. And this is just a beautiful, beautiful narrative and perspective of that hardship.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. Belen, what did you think?
I think Liquid Minds Forever, this was a different write for her, for me, anyway. This is really, wow. I don't want it to stop. I want to keep reading. I want to know more and more and more. I think she really just nailed it right here. This is just superb writing at its best, and I think that, you know, what really got me the most was when she said, how they come to this country poor, something, and feel sad, and they didn't get it. Because basically what it says, sometimes what you wish for doesn't always, it's just because you think you get what you wish for doesn't always mean that's what it's going to be. But yet, if you read the ANN, you'll see that she said that her grandmother, that was for her grandmother, she who died in September of 89 or 90, somewhere in there, and that she was a self-made woman. And I think that, you know, I think she just gave great tribute to their homage of coming into America and how it was not so welcoming, but yet they still made it their own. So I think this is just intelligent and just very as well.
Thank you, Helen. And Lauren, what
do you think? This is as powerful a story as I've read. And it's proof that the American dream remained just that for many immigrants, a dream. A polished right with a poignant tone that evokes the hardship and toil and all for little reward. And my heart is heavy as I read this and reread this because I don't want to forget it. It's hugely impressive, Deborah.
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. Okay, Felon, I have your write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, okay, thank you. This is called Can't Finish Accents. Birth amongst the skin and bone from the woman I once called home. She lingers off the tongue's comments, echoes calling my name, is mine's torment. Bleeding regret of forgiveness won't let me forget how peace can't rest when lost within my own chest. As for now, your visits linger to sense. My senses are reminiscing. Awe dressed slumber's dream for the shredded warmth becomes stiff and no longer prohibited. End poem.
Wow. Beautiful read and such a touching write.
Thank you.
You can feel the longing in this and just an excellent poem. Now, if we could get some short comments on this poem, Lauren?
Yeah, the lines, bleeding regret is forgiveness, won't let me forget. A peace can't rest when lost within my own chest. And I think that's such an important point that Felon makes. Bleeding regret as forgiveness won't let me forget. It's, you know, regret is a poor substitute for something that possibly you should have done or simply regret due to, you know, the absence of the person. I love your phrasing, she lingers off the tongue comments, echoes calling my name, is a mind's torment. It's short, it's to the sweet, it's that great Felon brevity. Nice job, dear.
Thank you so much, Mark.
That was a great comment, thank you, Lauren. And Kathy, what did you think?
Fella, this is a wonderful piece. Birth amongst the skin and bone from the woman I once called home. Wow. That is a powerful stanza there.
Thank you. That's my mama.
Pardon?
That would be my mama I'm talking about.
Right, of course. Really good. Very fine work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And Lou, what did you think?
You know, I was just listening to the pain in the words in Felon's poem. You know, with death comes payment. All our dues are paid, Felon. And we don't need to keep punishing ourselves for things we cannot change or things that were not done or things that were done to us. But what we can do, as it says, that as you've forgiven her, we have to learn to forgive ourselves, because you can't keep beating yourself up for things that we can't go back and dream that we wish we had, we wish we did, we wish we didn't. You know, the time is now, and then you can also teach that to your own and to your own grandchildren. Love,
I do believe that,
is love. Love, Felon. Love yourself, too.
I agree.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Louie. And Salwa, what did you think?
Wow, Louie, what an amazing poem. Comment, and really, Fallon, everyone, Fallon, this is very deep and very moving. You can feel your pain, and as everyone has said, there is this conflict of struggle, of regret, and wishing you can change things, and there is even torment. So I know that time doesn't permit. It's very hard, like a heart-wrenching your poem. You can feel every word. There's so much pain in it.
Thank you. Wonderful yes. comment. Thank you, Sawa. And Frank, what did you think?
No, I agree. This is a very, very emotive piece. It's very personal by all means, like most of the poems that I've been hearing. I thought it was a breathtaking piece, very inspiring as well. I'm lost of words tonight with all the poems. Great job there, Fallon.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome. Thank you, Frank. Okay, I've got your poem up, Frank. I'm going to give this a play.
All right, thank you.
If I die today, would the world even shed a tear? Would I be remembered as only a fond memory? I could follow the winds of death with my spirit, or remain on this earth a ghost to my last breath. I want to fly above the clouds, reach the emergent heavens, and touch again the texture of your tender face I miss. Sing with the angel songs of the lyrical hymns of love. Walk amongst the garden of serenity, hand to hand. I can sense your presence as I walk through the valley, seeing the beauty of your eyes that sparkle with your halo. You caress me softly with the wings of your precious purity, while I sleep within the gentle comfort of your arms forever. I could see amidst the clouds the color of your reflection as it casts a celestial image upon the ocean of turquoise. And I listened then closely to the swashing echo of the waves, hoping to hear the dulcet tones of your voice in the morning. I stand upon the cliff of the mountain calling out your name, yearning to see the miraculous glimpse of your absolute divinity. As you ride like a chariot through the westerly winds blowing, and from afar your dark shadow shines bright over the lighthouse. I want to follow your light into the interminable ripples of time and be engulfed by the waves that submerge me gradually into the unknown depth of its inexplicable mystery and fate. A magical place where I know in the end I can find you always. A place beyond the twinkling stars and the nightly moonlight where death will take me to the gates of the special garden when the white doves will fly over the rays of the rainbow, and I shall see the angels as my body fades into the mist. Oh, and I shall see the angels as my body fades into the mist. Into poem.
Well, that was beautiful, Frank. Such a touching, reverent poem full of love and desire and just beautiful descriptive imagery. What did you think, Lauren? Hello, Lauren?
I think I lost them in the mist there.
Yeah, he dropped. Yeah. His phone,
okay.
His phone dropped.
Okay, Kathy? I think we lost Kathy as well. Salwa, what did you think?
No, no. You haven't lost me. I was on mute.
Okay.
This is a wonderful, a very spiritual poem, Frank. And I like prompt six. Are we fallen angels who didn't want to believe that nothing is nothing? And so we're born to lose our loved ones and dear friends one by one, and finally our own life to see it through.
Thank you very
wow.
much.
Wow. That is, and then, of course, I love movie ghosts, so. Outstanding work, Frank.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
A glimpse of absolute divinity age, for sure.
Excellent comment, yes. Kathy. Thank you. And Louie, what did you think?
You know, this is beautiful. This is, you know, something that we always want. We want to be with somebody that will be with us to the very end, to fall into their arms, and when they take their last breath and we give them our last kiss, we wish they would take us with them. But to see them in another time. Beautiful poem, Frank.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Sue. You know how much I care for you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Salwa, what did you think?
I mean, there is a tone of sadness, but there's so much beauty at the same time, and yearning for to be together forever, even after in the other afterlife. This is very moving, and just the imagery incredible as always. Frank, very, very, truly beautiful.
Thank you
so,
very much, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, Salwa.
My pleasure.
And Fallon, what did you think?
I think this is very beautiful because it, to me, it's like, you know, you ask the questions, will you be remembered? Will anyone cry? It's all these things that we all think about, but yet it doesn't really matter if the world cries. It's just that one you want to cry or that one you want to know that's going to miss you. And then the things that you, how you describe certain things, you know, things and the turquoise of the sea and the things that we take for granted and that we don't really pay, that we don't give peace and places for our God for the beautiful things we have before us. And it shouldn't be when we're dead and looking down that we actually take notice of what we have, the beauty we have in front of us. So this is just, you know, absolutely stunning words and a great write.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Great comment, John. Thank you. And I'd like to thank everybody for calling in to share their hearts, minds, and voices, most especially your time. Much love, poets.
Take care, my friends. This was the best.
Good night, everybody.
Shows.
Thank you for spending
one of the
this
best
night.
Shows.
Good night.
It was
night,
one of the
everybody.
Best shows I've been on.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
You guys are all amazing. You're amazing people, all of you. Take care.
So are you. Love
take
you guys.
You're,
good night.
You're my inspiration, all of you. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
Buenas noches, take care.
Buenas noches.